This is Drunk on Comics Special Edition, The Publisher's Interviews, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Hey gang, on this special edition podcast here, I had the chance to go to Great Lakes Comic Con over in the east side of the state here in Michigan. Very small show that was in its second year. Really, really nice show. Great attendance there. Some really great people there. And I spent a little time talking to a couple different small publishers that were there. We'll get things kicked off here with Mr. Josh Blaylock from Devil's Due Publishing. And talks a little bit about his books, you know, what goes on at Devil's Due. We talked a little bit about beer as well. And our old friend Dirk Manning jumped in and, did his own thing a few times throughout the interview as his table was directly next to Josh's. Then later on, I will be talking with both Travis McIntyre from the Michigan Comics Collective, as well as Josh Werner, both good friends of ours, Josh from Source Point Press, talking about their new collaborative project and the Kickstarter project that they have going on there. So kick back and listen, and hope you guys can give us a little bit of leeway here on this one. The speakers in that place were fantastic because you could hear them very clearly. Unfortunately, it did create a lot of background noise. So there are a couple few more edits in here than normal. So thanks, guys. Enjoy, and I'll be back after this is done. Guys, this is Derek with Drunk on Comics. I'm sitting here with Josh Blaylock at the Great Lakes Comic Con. And Josh, welcome to the show for the first time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we're talking a little beer before we get into comics.
Yeah, how can you talk about comic books when there's so many beer choices to talk about?
Yeah, so, okay, so I found out you're a big fan of Brewery Vivant, which is, you know, our hometown brewery. But what was the beer that you were just starting to tell me about?
Oh, it's called Forbidden Root.
Okay.
And so I went to this beer fest. We got, you know, you walk around with a little glass and you're sampling everything. And
yeah.
My buddy was friends with the guy throwing it, and he introduces us to a distributor, and we were, like, just drinking all this stuff. It's this company called Forbidden Root, and I know they're somewhere near Chicago, if not in Chicago. But they are, there's cupcake projectiles coming towards the booth.
And of course, it's Dirk Manning.
Barely even a drop of frosting.
I'm getting
yeah.
Josh, I did not just frost your wife, nor did I cream her. Now, she
they
is...
just recorded that.
This is how he muscles it on podcast.
She is creamier for knowing me, but I did not cream her. That's all I'm going to say.
There's a reason that we've talked that the name of our show is not Drunk on Comics, but Dirk on Comics.
You're on Dirk on Comics right now.
Yeah.
You're on Dirk on Comics.
Yeah, that man has been on our show more than anyone else ever.
Look at that little girl's Darth Vader dress.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, Forbidden Root.
Sorry, that was a little, like, two-year-old girl wearing a Darth Vader dress with a tutu. All black.
She needs a lightsaber, though.
For those who can't even be here to see that. Yeah, no, like, Forbidden Root, like, they don't use any hops in anything.
Okay.
It's all botanicals, and their trademark is one that is like a root beer without any sweet to it.
Oh,
but it's
nice.
Not sarsaparilla, either. It's some, they just really know what they're doing blending their, I forget what herbs they blend together. But it's like a, you know, like a 6% roughly beer. It just tastes like root beer, but not sweet. There's a ginger one that it's like nothing like any regular ginger beer I've had. And it's really light. That one's literally only like 3.5%. And then there's one that's, I forget what it's called, but it's like 9%. And because of no hops, like it's all really light.
Yeah.
Even the dark ones are kind of light.
Nice. I'm definitely going to have to check that one out.
So. Yeah, but Vivant, we were just at this place called, where was that? Reno opened up by my house, Reno, Chicago, and they only served tall, like, cans. And
yeah.
So I had the tall boy, the farmhand, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Trying to explain it, describe it to people, like, it's like a cider, like the bite of a cider, but it's not at all cider.
It's
just crisp and tart.
It's a Saison. You know, yeah. So I mean, it pretty much fits in with that, and it's funny because I actually
I've got a friend of mine, actually I have a couple friends that are brewers, but one in particular was telling me the reason that they call a lot of these Saisons farmhands is because that's what they used to brew for the, you know, the farm.
They didn't
hands.
Trust the water.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they typically were a little bit lighter alcohol percentage than they are now, but that's what they used to make for their farmhands. Like, and that's,
it was ironic that it was for hydration.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. So, but, well, Josh, tell our listeners a little bit about Devil's Due.
Devil's Due Entertainment is a publisher of a really diverse line of comic books. We have a heavy bent on creator-owned projects right now. And in the past, we were known for a lot of licensed properties as well. But our current line is about half a dozen or more titles of... Really, we've got a superhero prison drama about an immortal hero on death row. I have a 120-page graphic novel based on a true story about a secret operation about an assassin after World War I about the Armenian genocide. We have a new book called 7 Days of Death coming out in May, which is literally like just this, like a, if Robert Rodriguez did a just a fun movie about a lumberjack dude who's in purgatory, has to fight his way out to get to heaven. Plume, with Kaylin Smith's here too. It's a Wild West action revenge story with a whole magic twist to it. And Squarriors is a big hit right now. It's a, that is like Secret of Nim by way of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, because all of the animals are getting smarter and all the humans have died off. And it's kind of a sci-fi, you know, twist behind it. But when you read it, it feels more like Game of Thrones, and it kind of has that end of the world, Walking Dead, 12 Monkeys kind of vibe, you know. Like, so it's really its own unique thing. And we do. And then my book, my personal book, also is Mercy Sparks. It's a fun action, just terribly gratuitous book about a devil girl that smokes too much and drinks too much whiskey, and she's put here by heaven as a odd figure for them. But she puts them here. They put Mercy here in disguise as a human, and she has to hunt down rogue angels who are hiding on Earth.
Okay.
And
now, Mercy Sparks has been around for how many issues now?
It's we're up to issue 7 of the ongoing series, and there was a miniseries before that. So we have 2 trade paperback collections. We are continuing. It's been unfortunately, since I run the company, she always has to take a back seat to the other projects when I'm busy.
Yeah.
And I got this Operation Nemesis book I was just talking about the Armenian genocide story, kind of fell out of the sky, and I had to get a 120-page story done in a very short amount of time. So that is, Mercy 8 is finally coming out. It's been a few months, but we'll get it back on track with that. So it's an ongoing story. We still plan to continue. And then I got some other side projects. Yumiko Curse of the Merch Girl is a self-contained, it's kind of like a hip-hop Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
And it's got an album that comes with it by this really well-known indie rapper named Murs. And I wrote a book on how to self-publish comic books that's in its like 4th iteration now.
Oh, nice.
Since 2006. And I just updated it again. And now I launched a website, howtoselfpublishcomics.com, because I'm tired of updating the book, like... You know, so much has changed. And honestly, in some ways, things have changed more in the last 3 years than they have in the last 10 years. So.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, everything, and also, I mean, just in the from the publicity to the, you know, getting your name out to how you're meeting people now, everything seems flipped on its head. So.
Ironically, Dirk already came in and made himself known to everyone. Yeah. We publish Tales of Mr. Reeve with Dirk Manning. So as people that listen to the podcast probably know, he's a big horror writer. And
yes.
So that's the series we do. Lots of Cthulhu, Lovecraftian meets Lucifer fun.
Yeah, and he's blowing his Kickstarter out of the water. And
funded, 7 hours for almost $7,000.
Yeah, yeah. And he's, I don't even know where he's at now. I know he was over 13,000 on the 13th day, you know.
Yeah. It'll be, unless the financial angel drops in, I don't know if we're at 20 or not, but we're close.
It's doing awesome. But yeah, people, our regular listeners know Dirk very well. but fantastic guy. And actually, I think people should just go buy it, because I'm one of the few people that gets killed in issue 1.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, just they need to buy it just for that reason.
Are you one of the guys that's, like, torn up, like, half your body's gone?
Yeah, I'm the guy that's getting crucified with beer bottles from Founders, and and I've been disemboweled. Yeah, that's me.
I didn't even catch that. I'll have to look back at that.
Yeah, Seth snuck, like, you can see one of the bottles kind of in the close-up.
I'm grabbing this book.
But, yeah, the little close-up on there, you can see where it starts to say, like, an F-O-U-N on there. Josh is peeling back. Oh, where's that? There we go. Yeah, you can start to see the Founders written down. And yes, I'm being crucified with beer bottles.
Nice.
Yeah, always fun.
I like that it's just he's got him on his smartphone. Because yeah. that means that while it was going on, he was just sitting there getting a video.
I think people sent those pictures to him.
That makes sense. Like, they probably would be like, "Help us! This is happening."
It probably came direct from Dirk because all of his social media.
Yeah,
you know, is how it came through. But
I mean, in the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was either Reed or someone that sent the video to him had to be sitting there while this guy's getting massacred and like getting his guts torn out. They're just like, "I'm gonna get a video." Instagram.
It's theoretically possible one of the demons were running the cell phone. Theoretically.
I want to see that visual too.
Yeah. Now, talk to me a little bit about what it's like to, you know, create your own comics and kind of bring those to life. I mean, I understand it's got to be a hell of a lot of fun once you actually see that printed process out there. But How do you select your projects? You know, what is it for you that kind of drives you to want to put something out?
It's always hard to answer that, but because sometimes it's subjective, you know. But as far as me personally, it's just sort of my bandwidth is limited, you know, because I'm publishing other books, which is a choice I had to make when we kind of relaunched the company about 3 years ago, and I had to like decide, am I going to put everything I know into my own stuff or keep publishing?
Sure.
And I decided, you know, so it's. You sacrifice your own personal projects by doing that, but it also increases the odds that, you know, you've got more stuff. You put out more books than you ever could yourself, you know.
Yeah.
We get one thing is we pretty much, for the most part, are looking at books that come in that are ready to go.
Yeah.
It's a little different if it's a known, if it's a very well-known creator who's got a big following. Obviously, we're going to have to talk to them. If they, you know, if Warren Ellis pops up tomorrow, like, I want to do something. Yeah, we're going to have a conversation. But, with the indie stuff, and our sweet spot is like finding, I think, creators that have some. They have already built up some momentum. They've got a finished package going, maybe, and they've either the book's been out or it's been online, or they just wrapped up another project and now this is their new one.
Yeah.
And there's some momentum. We can pick the ball up and run with it, and really help them like just like magnify what they're already doing right and fill in the weak spots.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that's why I think we're the only publisher really doing it. It's I'm aggressive about the crowdfunding and help. Like, you know, it's not we're not like, oh, crowdfund that book, and if you make it happen, then yeah, we'll do it. It's like, no, I say, like, they don't need us, and no creator needs a publisher now to get their stuff out there, really, if they got a following. But it doesn't mean it's not a big pain in the ass, and it sucks up all your time and energy if you do that. So it's why you. That's the real value publisher adds now. Mm-hmm. And it's more of like a becoming kind of like a manager / you know, service provider / traditional publishing.
Well, and it doesn't make it a little bit easier for them to get into, like, you know, Diamond and all that, to get into the retail
absolutely
stores?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's honestly, that's some stuff I've realized in hindsight. Because we've just been around, so, you know, got into Diamond. I've been in Diamond since like 1996 as a kid, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, publishing black and white stuff. So when I went to Image and then later on Devil's Due split off and then we were around for years and years, I never thought about the whole Diamond thing nowadays, you know. So that's a value we add, you know, just navigating, you know, the advertising and the marketing that goes into that, knowing where to get books printed. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll pay three times more than you should for printing, literally shipping or fulfillment solutions, being able to handle the web store, getting, literally, when you do a Kickstarter, knowing where to get boxes for, you know, 50 cents instead of $1.25 that they might get. That all that stuff. Knowing how to having systems and procedures in place to just for scalability. So I've been all about to use some business lingo there. And crowdfunding is really like kind of refined that for me as an entrepreneur even more. Like it's crowdfunding is not to change this whole subject into that. Like it's about making something profitable, whether you sell five, you know, or 5,000, you know, it's got to be some ideal print on some demand solution with the alternative to scale up. And, you know, so you can do something small and still do it right. But if it's a hit, you got to be able to run with it. So that's where a lot of, you know, newbies get burned because they don't, you know, if something hit and then took off and, I don't know, some crazy internet meme happened and we had to offer 100,000 units of something even with national distribution, and you know, that'd be no problem.
Sure.
I've already done that before, you know, so that's the value that I can add as we're building these things up. So, but the as far as selecting the books, is there like the momentum built in? Obviously, we look at it. We have to think it's professional quality and it's the right fit. And you know, is the creator someone that we're going to be able to work with, and are they going to follow up and be pushing this as well? And then it's really than that. You know, ever look at everything now, like. It, like case by case scenarios would be, you know, with Dirk's stuff, I know no matter what happens, he's out there really, really promoting it, doing a lot of podcasts, doing a lot of lots and lots of conventions. And then with Plume, you know, Carrie built up a huge webcomic with tens of thousands of readers. Like over a million hits a month on that. So I knew there's, regardless of what happens in stores, you know, good, you know, I knew no matter what before I took that book on, we could kickstart that. We can build up or get her audience excited about stuff that we're coming out with.
Yeah.
Mercy Sparks, I started that years ago, and I just keep doing it. I see enough of a spark with that book, like that. It's got a hardcore following, and it's not the biggest book in the world, but like. When you have people show up at conventions dressed as your character's cosplay, you know you've got something, you know?
Yeah.
I've done other stuff where I just have to admit, like, no one cares, you know, even though I love it. But that's one of those books where I'm like, okay, no, this we got to keep doing this.
Well, you know, and sometimes those labors of love are the ones that make everything else worth it, too. You know, you get it out of the way, you're like, okay, I did that for me. That was 100% for me. And sometimes I've seen where people can go, this and this worked from that, and I can parlay that into another thing here.
We're ready for the costume contest. So we're over in panel room A with the bleachers, the large draped area. We'll see.
Costume contest, love them. They're also when all the crowd disappears from the con floor because they go watch the costume contest.
Yeah.
We have three judges up here in the front. I will introduce them in just a moment.
We tried to hold off here a little bit on
we got cock blocked by cosplay.
Isn't that the way it always seems? that's like the story of my life at a convention. Yeah. But we got the costume contest. But Josh, I know my shop carries a lot of your books. But if people can't find your book in a store, where can they find you?
Devilsdo.net. We offer everything for sale there. Comixology, we have all of our titles on there. We are in drive-through comics, you know, and we're at a number of conventions around the country, so check us out.
What other big shows do you have lined up this year?
There's going to be a lot more. Right now, definitively, we're doing April, we got C2E2, we've got then Free Comic Book Day in May, and I don't know if this is announced yet. We're doing that at Pack Rat Comics. We've got to work out details, I think. I don't know if I could say that or not. I said it. We've got we'll be in Minneapolis for Spring Con, which is now called MSP Comic Con. That's the same weekend as Motor City, so there's some Devil's Doers at Motor City. I know Dirk's there. I'm not sure if Carrie's there. We've got uh, Cherry Capitalcon in Michigan. Traverse City. That's a phenomenal. It's like the best kept secret in comics.
Yeah.
That's also in May.
So that pretty much covers
I was invited by a retailer to hit the G.I. Joe Con in Springfield, Illinois in April. And then that gets us into the summer. We are planning on doing special edition in New York. And at some point, probably some of the signings. There's I did 40 stores last year.
Oh, wow.
In the summer. Oh, I think it did carry over to the other room there.
Or it was down on a different speaker, one of the two.
We might be doing, there should be a lot more cons throughout the states. Might be doing some shows in other countries too, because this Operation Nemesis book, the Armenian Genocide story, we've already been invited to go sign in Armenia like later this year.
Nice.
There's some really cool press I cannot talk about yet, but it's involved with another worldwide promotion.
Okay.
That'll be awesome when it's announced. So
cool.
Doesn't mean we're going to be there at every place, but it means that the book will be represented all over the place. I guess we were kind of wrapping it up, but I was talking about the publishing.
Yeah.
The way I'm trying to do it now is like just really... really, like, embracing the way indie comics works, you know, now.
Yeah.
From the grassroots level, and just use the old school traditional knowledge that I have, like, when appropriate. But we can really, it's almost like you're building a gang, you know, like,
yeah,
with chapters. Like, letting all creators work sort of autonomously, like Image does, but leading more. So, like, actually steering, you know, kind of having a central force that's like guiding things more. So we've got, you know, if you get
he's blinded by my readings.
No, I mean,
once again, Dirk sneaks in.
He knows how easily distracted I'll get. So
right, right. I'm just sitting here licking my lips, looking at him like.
Yeah. So like, if you do,
yeah.
You know, every time we do like a campaign, like a Kickstarter campaign, for example,
mine, for example, which has been very successful.
We're getting to know all the readers. Like like the cream of the crop of that creator's fan base, and then you know we have this collection now of all these like the most diehard of the supporters. We see where the overlap is. You know, we get really good information out of that.
Yeah,
and then you know if I pick up another horror writer or another horror series.
Say if you want to replace Dirk.
I would only say that if he was here.
Oh, he'll hear
it. It's not worth it. But yeah. It's like, hey, they know they're going to be with a company that also, hey, we can shout it out to those people in any genre, right?
Uh-huh.
So then when you get to
we were just talking about replacing you.
Yeah, how'd that work? Yeah. And yet here I am.
Yeah. It's weird.
Does he know I'm the fifth? Does he know I'm the fifth host?
Yeah, you're the fifth Beatle.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll
isn't that a comic book right now? The
fifth Beatle. Hey, isn't someone at your table?
That actually is a book.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Won a couple Eisners too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But well, Josh, thanks for your time, man. Dirk has successfully come by and distracted, which I figured he probably would.
But what I was going to say is, like, basically it gets to where we're building like this little infrastructure, right? So
yeah,
you know, as we add on more creators, more books, and sometimes we're actually looking at some licensed stuff again. So that all is going to shine a light on everything, and we got a pretty wide convention network now that we're hitting. We've got the certain promotions we're doing that we'll be able to plug people into now. We actually started the very beginnings of our own sort of podcast, shooting the shit once a week, just specifically about Devil's Due stuff, but the Devil Insider.
Fantastic.
And that's on the devilsdue.net as well.
Now, is that also available on iTunes or
not
Stitcher
yet, but it will
like
be.
Okay.
It will be. I want to know what I'm doing first before, you know, we really put it up there. But
didn't stop us.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, but, you know, like, that's... It gets to where, you know, you're really servicing the creators.
Yes.
So, like, you know, and it works both ways. For an indie creator, you know, if you're unknown, we still want to pick the book up. You're getting plugged into that whole network. You really get to engage with everyone.
Yeah.
And if you're a bigger name, you got a turnkey, like, thing that you can just plug right into, and you know you're with someone who's going to really maximize like everything that they're. You're not just throwing your book in diamond and waiting to see what happens.
Hoping that somebody will pick it up. Yeah. So. Well, cool. Now, updates, obviously, people can get on devilsdo.net. Yep.
And that'll link you to our Facebook and all that stuff, too.
Facebook, Twitter, everything else?
Yep.
Perfect. Josh, thanks so much, man. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks,
man. Guys, go check out Devils Do and send them some love. We'll see ya.
Send us beer.
And beer.
Or whiskey.
Well, now I am here with Mr. Travis McIntyre and Mr. Josh Werner. And regular listeners of our show, Travis met you here back at our Grand Con days.
Yep.
And they've known Josh since our very first convention way back a little over 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's
another Detroit show. So, and Josh, you are kind of the head or one of the co-heads of Source Point Press.
Yes.
Travis, you are the head of the Michigan Comics Collective.
Yes, sir.
And you are also a writer.
Yep.
Josh, you artist, also a writer?
Yes, yeah, and, we're both. Yeah.
Yep. Now, Travis, do you draw?
Not well.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, really, really not well.
So.
But it doesn't stop him.
No, it doesn't stop me.
You guys have a Kickstarter that actually just launched. So tell our listeners a little bit about it. And tell me about it, because I'm kind of excited. I know a little bit, but I want to know more.
So I did a book, sort of self-published a book about 2 years ago that I kind of like put together a little slapdash, and it was sort of meant to be like a pilot episode of something. And it gave me something that I could show people to be like, this is what I have in mind. And eventually Josh was kind enough to be like, you know, I'm kind of interested in this, but we want to completely redo the art and start completely over. So we did all that, and you know, Steve Shard did pencils and inks, and Sean Seal did the colors. We've got Mark McKenna doing inks on the covers, and now it's coming out through Source Point Press, and we launched a Kickstarter today to cover the print run.
Well, it'll be a few days by the time this actually hits the air.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So it won't be too late.
So yes. It is live, right? Right now when you hear this, it'll be live. And it's basically the intention of the Kickstarter is just to fund the print run of the first issue, and then anything more we get towards that's going to go towards promoting that issue and towards the second issue if we end up making that much extra. But we're really excited about it because once this rolls, it should be self-sustaining after that, and we really just, you know, kind of need people's help to get it going. But once they see, one, the rewards, and two, the art, and, you know, check out the video and take a look at the art that's posted on the Kickstarter, you're going to be super excited about it. I am just absolutely stoked.
Tell us a little bit about the rewards, because that's, you know, we're all greedy people. And so, you
me
know,
especially.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we're going to throw down some cash. What are we going to get?
Well, we tried to keep the rewards simple. We didn't want to get out there with a bunch of different things. We wanted to keep costs as low as possible, and we wanted to use every dollar that we get towards printing the book and making the book as good as we could. So essentially at around $6, you get the issue. You know, we'll all sign it. It will mail it to your door. After that, you basically have a $15 retailer reward where you can get 5 copies of it. There's 10 sketch covers available from Steve for, what is that, 50, Josh?
Yes, 50.
Yeah, 50. Yep. Mark McKenna has generously agreed to do 2 Kickstarters at 100. And
at 150, you can get one of the original comic pages.
Yeah, at 150, nice. You can get one of the original pages.
See, that's the kind of stuff that I love the original art. You guys know this.
Yeah,
about
I
me,
always get yeah. I always get suckered into Kickstarters with the original art too. So
yeah.
And plus, there's some cool little ones too. Like if you don't want to spend a lot, and everybody knows that shipping always comes into play. So if you're a digital guy, there's digital options. You can get a digital copy of the book for like $2. Or if you want, you can actually get a digital bundle where for like a really good value, you get 6 additional comics with it, all digital, but all from different stories from the creators on the book. So you'll get stuff that Steve worked on, stuff that I worked on, stuff that Travis worked on, stuff that Sean Seal worked on. So the digital bundle is really fun too if you don't want to have to wait as long for your award and you don't want to pay much.
Tell me a little bit about what the, you know, what the story is, what's going on with the actual book.
The story is my attempt at writing a love letter to Mark Twain in a post-apocalyptic world full of characters who have some kind of what we'll call a superpower or something that makes them different, but like there's no superheroes. Like nobody is doing anything heroic. Everybody's sort of out for themselves and trying to build their own little niche in a world sort of gone crazy, but is also very much a horrible knockoff of Huckleberry Finn.
So I mean, is it a little bit lighter in tone? Is it darker in tone?
Fairly dark in tone. I mean, not completely throughout, but it's fairly dark. It starts off, there's a murder mystery. A boy's father is murdered. And in order to solve the mystery of this murder, he ends up having to get on a riverboat with a couple of friends and head up the river.
The most treacherous river in the world. Yeah, this is where a lot of horror elements come into the story as well.
The Detroit River?
That's all those bodies we're seeing. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it very easily could be the Detroit River. Yeah, it's the most treacherous river in the world, and he's traveling up it. And, you know, so it's as all the people he meets, all of the adventures that he has as he goes through is basically the plot line of the book as he's trying to solve the murder of his father.
So now, after you know, like once issue one is funded and it's out there, I mean, is issue two pretty close to ready to go? Are we?
Issue two is being worked on. We're hoping to have one issue every 3 months once the first one comes out, which I think is a reasonable.
Absolutely, it's doable. And it's all pre-plotted. It's not like he doesn't know what's going to happen next. Travis has actually plotted out the entire 21-issue series in a whole. So it's very meticulously crafted.
Yeah, everything is done, basically. I mean, it's art. Art comes down to it. So it would just be a matter of cracking the whip and, you know, keeping the pencil monkeys busy.
Yep. Now, are you planning on keeping you know, Steve on pencils throughout the whole thing, or are you looking at maybe switching? Because I know you've got a lot of guys that work in the Michigan Comics Collective.
That's true. I think that Steve is going to I kind of consider Steve like a co-creator of this whole thing.
Perfect.
Because after the first version kind of came out and he looked at it, and then he really helped me kind of be like, this is a better way to panel these out. This is a better way to tell this story visually. So at this point, I kind of consider Steve a co-creator. So I don't think that I would go with anybody else, at least through this initial 21-issue macro arc. I mean, really, it's three small story arcs that are all sort of interrelated, so 7-issue arcs.
Nice. Now, how can people find it on Kickstarter?
Just go to Kickstarter. You can search Source Point Press and it would show up. You can search Up the River and it will show up. You can search Joshua Werner and it will show up. What else would it? I don't know if it would show up if you search me.
Nobody's going to search you, Travis.
Yeah, don't search me.
If you just put in Up the River, it'll be it's the number one option that pops up. For sure.
All right, and I'm sure it's under the comics.
Yep,
heading under
absolutely.
There too. Cool. So, well, since I got both you guys here, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys in a while, Josh, tell me a little bit about what's going on with Source Point Press besides Up the River.
Oh, wow. A lot. Well, I'm still doing my Rampant book tour. Rampant's doing really well. It's a novella that I wrote and illustrated. And so that's awesome and building up a lot of momentum. We released two new comics in the past month. Source Point Presents number one, which is it's a two-story. Every issue has two stories, and it builds upon the world of Jack of Spades. So all the characters cross over and it kind of building a Jack of Spades universe. And we also did serial number two, which has been getting a lot of press recently because the first issue was banned from Amazon. And
Really? Yeah,
it was a big deal.
There?
It was funny. It was banned before we got it. So it was this broken down comic that was awesome, but they thought was kind of dead. Like they didn't know what to do with it, but they wanted to carry it on. So they came to us and we gave it a home, cleaned it up, reprinted it, and got it out there. Obviously not on Amazon because it's banned. But we finally brought out a second issue. So like we've been able to now push this into an ongoing title. And so the band's long, you know, time in waiting, the band comic returns. And it's pretty cool. Serial number two focuses on, it's all true crimes. It's all real serial killers. And serial number two is all about female serial killers. It has like a theme. And most of them are really household names, like Elizabeth Bathory and Lizzie Borden. But there's going to be a few that you've probably never heard of that have really crazy tales as well. And so we'll be doing that. And then we're about to release, obviously, Up the River, of course, is our number one priority. But we're also releasing a, we have a licensing deal through Mindfrost Solutions to do a graphic novel version of their video game, Zombie Rush Riot. So that's really exciting. And I should have it out, let's see, this is April. It'll be out in April for sure. Okay. And we're going to be debuting at C2E2, actually.
Nice.
So it's going to be fun. It's five chapters of a zombie apocalypse story that ties directly into the video game. So each chapter represents a level from the game. And anybody's curious, the game's free. It's a, you can download it for iOS, you know, iPhones and iPads. And it's a lot of fun. It's like it's a zombie running game. It's all about high score competing. And it's blessed because it has a really cool comic book storyline behind it all.
Anyone wants to advertise, go to drunkoncomics.com. Oh, wait. We work really good deals. So awesome, Josh. I appreciate that. You know, and one thing here that Travis just brought up was... another potential thing that SourcePoint might be doing here soon, possibly a Drunk on Comics comic? What?
What did I get roped into?
Well, I think I just think that you know, two weird, crazy con characters, you know, Derek and Tony would make really good, awful superheroes. If we could come up with like a good, you know, 16 pages of ridiculous adventures that they could have, I think that people would be interested in something like that, and I think we should definitely do it. I mean, I've got the artists. We can make this happen.
Why do I have a feeling there's going to be, like, a lot of fart jokes and stuff? Like
and dick jokes.
That's where the money is, yeah.
The money shot. Wait. Oh, no, wait. No, that's different altogether. Damn it. Screwed up again. So Travis, what's going on with the Michigan Comics Collective?
Well, you know, I mean, we're still out here pushing the Volume 1 anthology. We have... a lot of work being done on the Volume 2 anthology. We're looking at a late August, early September publication date for that. We have a horror anthology that just started. I believe thumbnails for that for our artists are being turned in over the next 2 weeks. We've got some amazing stories. It's being edited by David C. Hayes. I don't know if you've met him before. He's a Michigan...
yes, I do know.
B-movie
yes.
Director and writer.
Is that the Sharknado guy, isn't it? Is that him?
I don't know. I don't.
I could be wrong.
Let's cut this. We'll just cut this part out so that he doesn't ever have to hear the, me say that. You know, I don't know. I'm not familiar with all of the like 35 films he's been a part of.
Here's the easy way. I drink a lot, so I forget what you said.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That is exactly how I'm going to handle this from now on.
Yes.
But he's a big time horror guy in the state. He's doing the editing. We've got Kirk Lindo is doing a cover.
Josh Werner has a story in it.
I am the only person who both is writing and illustrating 100% of their story. Yeah, so I'm doing my pencils, inks, and colors, and wrote it.
That's completely untrue because Jeff Sornig is actually doing same thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Sornig Graphics.
Jeff Sornig's awesome. Yeah.
He is awesome.
Quick question on that process. Josh, are you still traditional pen and ink?
Yes.
All the way across in digital colors? Or
in fact, this one is going to be really unique because the story itself is a horror story that's about a painting. And the painting is going to be showing the progress of the painting throughout the story. And I'm actually doing a real painting that will be inserted into the panels for those shots. So the whole time, while I'm actually illustrating the pages, I'll simultaneously be doing a painting that is a huge, huge, creepy part of the story. So it's going to be, to do that, to keep the kind of painting look, I'm also going to be doing a lot of traditional stuff. So it's going to be a blend. I'm going to do some traditional paint in the panels and some digital finishing on some things.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. That should be coming out October 31st of this year. And
that's
what else?
Convenient.
Yeah, it's, yeah. we'll tie it. Maybe there's something going on that time of year that we can tie a horror anthology into. I'm not sure, but
it's right before Thanksgiving. That's always terrifying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Family.
This is perfect. That's exactly what we'll do.
Yeah.
And we also have our first standalone graphic novel is being published and released at Motor City this year. It's called Wild Bullets. It's written by. Yes, it's been written by Greg Wright, and with art done by Sean Seal, Joe Frere, a little bit by Steve, Jason Jimenez is another guy who's worked on it. You know, as far as you know, pencils and inks and colors and all the sure. different things. But it's kind of a mini graphic novel. It's about 50 pages in length. It's going to be about a $5 price point book that we're release at Motor City as our first kind of standalone, you know, non-anthology, non-sort of collected work. It's going to be a one story, you know, with some heft to it.
Nice. I was actually privy to the script, and I can say it's awesome. The entire concept of the book is really, really cool. I'm stoked about it. I'll be first in line to buy it.
Well, guys, the one nice thing, now, Josh, I know you said C2E2.
Yep.
Travis, Motor City. And I know, Josh, you'll be at Motor City as well.
Yep.
So
in Indianapolis as well.
Yeah. It's going to be a big party this May. So.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Source Point Press, where can people find it?
SourcePointPress.com and Facebook.com/SourcePointPress and then Twitter.com/SourcePTPress because they're terrified of too many characters.
Yeah, well, too many characters and the story goes to shit.
Right. So,
yeah.
Good point.
Travis, where can people find the collective?
MichiganComicsCollective.org is an easy way to find us. We're also on Facebook. Just search Michigan Comics Collective. Or you can send an email to us at MichiganComicsCollective@gmail.com. Failing all of that, you can find me on Twitter at T McIntyre. That's MCINTIRE1. You know, and if you're interested in the MCC at all, just shoot me a message, look me up on Facebook, and I'll be happy to help you out.
Come see in person at Motor City in May.
Come see me in person at Motor City in May.
Perfect. Gentlemen, as always, thank you so much. Cannot wait to read some more awesome stuff from you guys.
Excellent.
Thanks for
a
having
lot, Derek.
Me.
Thanks, guys. Well, that wraps it up here, guys, for the special edition here with the publishers. Hope you really enjoyed that. Some really fantastic guys, some great projects going on. Please go online, check them out, and back these guys. Show them a little bit of love. We'll be back here next week on our regularly scheduled podcast on the Sunday with our comic review and news show. Thanks, guys. Keep reading your comics. We'll be back later. Talk to you more about them then. See ya.